Praise God. I'm not going to take our time this morning. Part of the series that we started on God's prosperity plan for his children. I want to begin a new segment of that series today. The series under that segment, there are quite many, but I want to start with this one today. I want to talk about coming out of debt. Coming out of debt. Somebody say, I'm coming out of debt. Come on, say it emphatically like you believe it. I am coming out of debt. Today is an introduction to coming out of debt. Just for you to understand and paint you a bigger picture of where you are if you are a debtor. The Bible says in Proverbs 22 and verse 7, Proverbs 22 and verse 7, it says, the rich ruleth over the poor. Isn't that so true? The rich ruleth, the rich rules the poor. In the world, they say, even the rich man takes the wife of the poor man. And the poor man has no voice. Hallelujah. The rich rule over the poor. Let me tell you something here. God is not against riches. Abraham was exceedingly rich. David was exceedingly rich. The Bible even says Solomon was richer than anybody else ever known. The Bible says the root of evil is what? The love, not money. It is the love of it. When money consumes your heart, money is not evil. It's the importance we give to money, the love of it. Many people will not be in church. Why? Guess what? Because of money. Not that they have to be there at work, but they would rather sacrifice coming to church for a few hours than what they will earn from their employer. There are Christian businesses in America today. I can name one. They don't open on Sundays. Amen? Because they understand the principle of God's plan to prosper his children. It's not how many jobs you have and the long hours you work that God uses to prosper you. Your job actually is not the only avenue. Salary can't make anybody rich. Hello? Salary can't make you rich. It's the truth. Before it gets to your hand, all the people that will collect their own will have collected it. And they will give you change. The tax man doesn't trust you enough. They take it before it gets to you. And some people at the end of the tax year, they are still owing the tax man. And the tax man is still looking for them. God have mercy. Hallelujah. The rich rules over the poor. And the borrower is a servant to the lender. Which is to say, borrowers work for the lender. Borrowers work for creditors. Borrowers work so that they can repay their debt. Death is a demon. Death is a killer. You know, some people talk about retail therapy. When you're not feeling well, they say go and spend, go and shop. But when the bill comes, you get sick again. Then you go and shop again. Then the bill comes again, you get sick again. And then when the bills come, you don't want to open it at all. You know? There is no magic wand of coming out of debt. You entered into debt strategically. You are going to plan to come out of it. You have to plan. You have to plan. But today, I want to show you the effects, some of the effects of debt. Some of the effects of owing somebody else. It says the borrower services the lender. It's good to own your home. Great. Or to have a mortgage. That's what I meant. Mortgage comes from the word death. Dying slowly. Morte. Get the mortgage. They say you have 30 years. So you should get a mortgage. If you get a mortgage this year, so you will pay it off. If you follow their plan, you pay it off in 2047. Some of us can't think that far. Praise the Lord. I'm going to show us a lot of things as we go on this series. The Word of God. The Word of God. There's so many things the Word of God does. The Bible makes us to understand in John 10:35b. It says scriptures cannot be broken. Scriptures cannot be broken. The Word of God cannot be broken. Every word of God is true. I want to say it again to us, church. Every word of God is true. Every word of God is not a suggestion. The word of God is the truth. The truth. And until we hold the word of God in the highest esteem of its integrity, we will not see the result of what the word of God promises us. We must hold the word of God in high esteem. We must value it. We must follow his instructions so that we can see the results it profers. Until there is a determination within us to obey. You just have to determine it. We read some scriptures this morning among the workers. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 2, it says, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. Why? Because they didn't act on it. They heard it, but it did not profit them. Why? It says because they did not mix it with faith. They did not. Faith is acting, action. Faith is not sense knowledge. Faith is acting on what God says, doing the word. Romans 9:32 says, wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, they don't walk it out. They don't walk the word, but as it were by the works of the law, they stumbled at the stumbling stone. He says, whosoever believes will not be ashamed. Whosoever believes will not be ashamed. That's verse 33. Whosoever believes will not be ashamed. Whosoever acts on it will not be left behind. Whosoever acts on it will always be on the way up. Whosoever acts on it will not be stagnant. Have you seen somebody who has an emergency and he thinks his car is going to take too long to get to the place of emergency, and he leaves the car, start running? Or say, let me take bicycle. Then exact energy. And does not even get there. What is a debt? A debt is an obligation, a state of obligation to pay somebody what you owe them. A debt is an obligation to pay what is owed. Whether we like it or not, we owe God the tithes. To the extent that God said, if you fail to pay it at the right time, you'll be owing 20% more. Who is a debtor? A debtor is somebody who is under the obligation to pay something they owe, to pay something borrowed. We know the story of the sons of the prophet who went to borrow the axe head. They were using it to cut down trees because they wanted to expand where they were living or where they lived. The axe head fell and went to the bottom of the lake or the river or the, yes. Alas, master, it was borrowed. We borrowed it. If we don't pay back, we are in trouble. We owe it. The man of God said, no, not on my watch. We're not going to be debtors here. He took a stick, threw it in the water. A miracle happened. The axe head floated. Use it and go and return back. Some people borrow with no intention of paying back. And they will borrow again with no intention of paying back. You have the first credit card, you max it out. You get the second one, you max it out. You get the third one, you max it out. No plan to pay back. And like we say, then alarm we blow. Start running helter-skelter. In the process, you see, when one of the burdens of debt is you start making wrong decisions. Because debt steals your sound mind. When the pressure of debt, the pressure of what you are owing comes upon you, you start making wrong decisions. You start getting into deeper debt. Debt is a bondage. There is no freedom in debt. Yes, I agree, there is good debt and there is bad debt. Buying a car with no plan of paying it off quickly is bad debt. Brand new cars don't increase in value. Can I tell you the cars that increase in value? The antique ones that maybe there are only six available. But guess what? You can't afford it. Because some of them cost millions of dollars. And people who have them, they hide it. And in another 10 years, they will bring it out. Somebody who paid $2 million, now they will be ready to pay $5 million. I've seen people buy that. And the car can only take two people. Can only carry two people. You know, can only take two. Only two people can sit in it. It has no room at the back for luggage. But it costs $5 million. Some do it for investment. That might be good debt. I've seen somebody on TV bought a horse for over $12 million or so. Because it's going to race the horse. People are going to bet on it. And it's going to collect their money. Whether the horse wins or lose. You know, some people are in the horse race, race course this morning. Their hard-earned salary. They are betting it on a horse they don't know nothing about. It's going to win. And then when the horse is running, you will see them hold newspaper, slapping, calling the horse, "Give me, give me, give me." The horse does not even know them. And then they lose. They will now go again. Debt is a bondage. And one of the deceptions of debt is, when you are so much in need and you think the only way out is to borrow. It's easy to borrow. Very hard to pay back. Because when you borrow, especially when you are not disciplined for the purpose for which you borrow, if it's an investment borrowing, if you are not disciplined in investing that money and you have done your due diligence to make sure that that money is going to yield for you, that money will just go somewhere else. And all the problems you had before will still be there. Now, when it's time to pay back, 10 problems are pulling you this way, debtor is calling you that way. Whether you change your phone, you change your, they already have your credit card, they have your social security. Anywhere you go, they know where you are. They can tell you, a creditor can say, if you don't pay me, I'll make sure you don't go beyond this point. So, when you even have a genuine need, because we live in a credit society, a society driven by debt, they even check, how well do you borrow and pay back? When was the last time many of you here have checked your credit report? You are meant to check it once a month at the minimum. Your TransUnion, your Equifax, your Experian. Because if you live in the United States, work here, and you are in this credit society, that report is too important to you. Some people can put all jargons and rubbish and you don't know. Some of us don't know what we owe. That report will tell you exactly what you owe and who you owe it to. And then you begin to plan. Some of us don't know that we can pick up the phone and call our creditors and negotiate with them. That right now I can't pay what you are asking, but I can pay XYZ. And I can't pay it all at once. This is the way I'm going to pay it, and I'm not going to fail. When my wife went and did her master's, we took out a student loan for her to do it. And it was time to pay back. Financially, we were not buoyant. It was a difficulty.
So we had to call them and say, you have to defer this thing. Because we can't at the moment. So they deferred. When the deferment became mature and there was still no money, guys, you know what? I think you have to still defer this thing. You know? And they deferred it again. Then God began to bless us little by little, little by little, little by little. And we are still on that little by little. And then it got to a time because of our job. They said, okay, based on what you are earning, your payment back is zero every month. And it's zero, it's going to be as if you are paying. Great. And then they found out that their finances has increased though. So they said, because your finances has increased a little bit, now you can't pay zero anymore. You have to pay this amount. And this amount must come out on this particular day without fail. So we make sure that on that particular day, that money is there, come what may, to go out. Because if it does not go out that day, it takes us back again. And by God's grace, very soon, it's going to be totally paid off. You have to have a plan. We can say, oh, there's a miracle of debt cancellation. Listen. Debt can be written off. We've seen them written off before. I remember one of the young girls that was in this church before. She wasn't a tither. She used to be among those people counting money. De La Rue. Until I found out that she doesn't tithe. What right do you have to be counting money? You're counting tithers' money. And you don't tithe. You don't have a right to be there. So I took her out of it. And she now had to go for a major surgery. A heart surgery. Prior to then, she had begun to tithe. It wasn't easy for her, but she began to tithe. She did the surgery, they brought the bill. She went to them and said, I don't have this money, oh. Tens of thousands. If I'm correct, probably about 64,000 or 68,000. And they said, we'll get back to you. When they got back to her, to the last penny was written off. Was written off. That can happen. You might have had a miracle of debt cancellation. I've had some myself. But you know, the most obvious is this. Two things. Two things. If you don't do the right thing, if you don't plan to be out of debt, two things is going to happen. One, you'll be under debt perpetually. You'll be losing weight and we won't know why. When people are laughing, you are frowning. Or you go and buy a gun and look for your creditor. And if your creditor is Bank of America, you can't kill the bank. Praise the Lord. And you can't pray the computer to malfunction. That today, Father, by faith I declare that their computer will malfunction in the name of Jesus. You even think that God has heard you. Whereas, you are just shouting on yourself. Praise the Lord. The Bible even says, in that Proverbs 22, but if you look at verse 6, He says, train up a child in the way you should go. When our children get to a particular age, when it comes to money, they need to begin to know the value of money. They can't always have what they want. Let them labor for it. Let them earn it so that when they get it, they will know how to keep it. When your child is 8 years old, this is me, you plan to give them pocket money. At the end of the week, you give them the pocket money, drive them to the bank, let them open an account, explain to them what it means, and then they put the money there, and you drive home. I know you have a lot of questions to answer in the car. Why did we have to leave my money there? But then next week, they do the same. And from time as they grow, they begin to see. They begin to see. I read of a very popular celebrity chef. His wealth is into the millions of pounds and dollars. He said, he told his wife, "Should I die before you? Not a penny of our money must go to these children. The best that will be done for them is that when they are ready, you put down a 25% deposit on an apartment for them. Let them go and look for the rest and be paying." He said, "Because I labored for what I earned." He said, "When they fly on an aircraft, himself and his wife, they are in first class." He said, "His children are in economy." He said, why should they be in the same class when they don't labor? They don't even know how we earn this money. He said something that really, really challenged me. They live in England. He said, "If you are not in the university, you get £50 a week. If you are in the university, you get £100 a week. Out of your pocket money, you pay your phone bill, your own phone bill. So if you run it down and finish the money, you want to buy jeans, save for it." Some of us look at that as very harsh. Maybe you came from a family that is so rich that your father just threw money at you. Maybe I would have had that opportunity, but my father died before I was old enough. You know, and I'm sure my father never did that. The man, he was so rich, but he never had a TV. There was no TV in our house. After he died, for me to watch TV, I have to go to the neighbor's house. Neighbors who are renting from my family, tenants in our house, I'll go and watch TV in their house. And when I go there, they'll tell me to sit on the floor. Sometimes it will be from the window that you are watching. I was in children's play from my school. I couldn't watch myself on TV, but through the window. I was on TV, but I couldn't sit down and enjoy it. My father said, "Television spoils children." And I won't really blame him. Technology has affected our children today. For them not to disturb us, go and watch TV. I'm talking about my own house too. Go and get your iPad. Okay, go and play with your iPad. Who born you to touch the remote? Those of you who have big TV at home, you can't touch the remote. The remote is in the hand of one man who will sit down there. And those times when there was no remote, you are the servant of Tony TV.
Oh yeah, stand up. Go and put it in channel. So and so. You know? Your mother will cook chicken. The best you get. America, the leg is different. Leg in America is thigh. Huh? Where we come from, leg. The leg is this. And then the head of the chicken. America, where did you see head of chicken? Eh? Because the chicken breast, the chicken thigh, the chicken everything. Never. You can see it. Even visitors will eat it. And they will give you. Our children needs to value what money is. You labor for it. Some of you, you stand on your feet 8 good hours, 12 good hours. Then you buy something for your son and say, no, I don't want that. I want Reebok. I want Nike. My youngest son knows my answer. So when you grow up and you work hard, you can buy anything you like. Really? I say yes. But here, in this house, this is Nigeria. Out there is America. Praise the Lord. You don't want to be a perpetual debtor in perpetual bondage. Some people die instead of leaving inheritance for their family, for their children's children, they leave debt for their direct children. You want to marry? Ask the person you want to marry, how much debt are you bringing into this marriage? And both of you tell each other the debt you are bringing into the marriage so that you both can have a plan to come out of debt. Are you planning to leave an inheritance? Or are you planning to leave a debt? Hallelujah. Is somebody getting me this morning? Proverbs 21, verse 20. It says, there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of a rich man, of a wise man. But the foolish man, he will spend everything. Spend, spend, spend. It's like the money in their pocket is on fire. I must give it. I must just. And when you are supposed to spend it on something valuable that will benefit you, you won't spend it on that. We spend on things that just perish. Have you not learned that things don't change? It's our mind towards things that change. Things don't change. If you this stand now, leave it 20 years time. Guess what? The way it is the way it is. It's what I'm saying. I will come one day and say, Pastor, you know that stand is outdated. It's still holding microphone. You know why? Because we want to catch up. We want to be like, don't you see that family? But what you don't realize is you only see the family on the outside. You don't know them on the inside. You don't know whether the husband has slapped his wife because of money. That morning, I've seen somebody who has a Mercedes Benz and he lives in one room, face me, I face you. I'm not kidding you. He has a Mercedes Benz 500 SEL. He lives in face me, I face you, one room. Who is mad? Who is crazy? The Mercedes Benz or him? The latest clothes, the latest lace, you will see them go and buy on credit. How can you be buying clothes you are going to wear on credit? What happened to the one you have? You use your credit card to go to the store to go and buy clothes. And your credit card has 29 point something percent APR on it. And by the end of the billing cycle, you don't have any money to pay back. And the shirt, iron don't burn them. Or you go to the store, you go and take, you know, if you go to Macy's, what you don't realize is those salespeople, they get a commission. If they sell you their credit card, store card, say immediately take it, you will get 15% off. And you are teased by the 15% off. Oh, wow, 15% off. So instead of $100, I'm going to pay $85, that's a good deal. Then they run your credit. They give you the 15% off. They say you have $1,250 credit limit. Then the following day, you start thinking of those things you passed by that you didn't pay attention to. The vision of those things now come back. And then you remember, wow, I have that card. I have 60 days to pay back. Many times we make plan based on where we are. We don't make plan based on where we are going. Then you go crazy. You see, you don't feel it. Because they're just swiping. And you don't know that you are shaving yourself, swiping. Then the bill will come. Eh? When did this happen? Devil is a liar. No, you are the liar, not the devil. You are the liar. Amen? Our greatest debt. Jesus came. He knows we can't pay it. He paid it all. Isn't that wonderful? He shed his blood. He paid it all. Romans 4, verse 25. Romans 4, 25. I'm going to rush down and close very soon. He says he was delivered for our offenses. I was raised again for our justification. He paid our debt. Now, can God give you a miracle of debt cancellation? Yes, he can. But then, it's not somebody who is not mindful of how they manage the resources that God puts in their hand. God is looking at you and I. How are we good stewards of what he has put in our hands? Workers, remember what I read this morning. Black people have a consumerism mentality. We don't even think of children's children. Saving for our children in the future. We see it, we want it by all means.
And why? You want to show off to somebody who did not even see you. You are wearing your new whatever it is. I've had people say that before, believe me. Then go take today. You know. Who is taking what? Who is taking what? The truth of the matter is, if you really take care of what you have, it will look new all the time. When you buy that dress or you bought that shirt or suit for a good considerable amount of money, and when it is dirty, you didn't take time to read the label. And then you put it in the washing machine. When it says dry clean only. What you don't realize is some of the things you are buying, like dresses and everything, the money to take care of them over time is more expensive than how much you pay for it. You say, dry clean only. Then you wet clean it in your basement. Put it in the washer. Then put it in the dryer. By the time your XL went into the dryer, it will come out as small. And you've not finished paying for it. What about you go to the furniture store? 8 years to pay. Don't worry about payment now. You can pay 8 years later. Buy now. Pay in 2023. Or mattress, your bed. People don't know that your mattress has an expiry date. The moment your mattress is reaching 8 years old, it's ready for a change. Because all your body weight has shed everything inside. The thing is now heavy. I don't care if it's carpetic or whatever it is. 8 years is ready for a change. But then, when you paid for it, when you bought it, you have not finished paying for it by 8 years. Then you sleep, you start scratching your body. Scratching. Or that chair you didn't pay for. They say 20, you can pay 5 years, 7 years later. Your children, you know how children play at home? Huh? They will now take pen and design it for you. Some will take blade and or scissors and cut it. Your anger towards them is actually towards your creditor. You've not finished paying for it. And the chair is spoiled. The leg is broken. when they come and repossess it, and they repossess broken leg chair, you still pay. Is it not better not to have a chair until you can afford it? Until you can afford it. Let me quickly run through the effects of debt. Debt is an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment. When your creditor sees you and you see them, you want to go another direction. Then suddenly you don't greet them anymore. If you hear that they are in Wisdom Assembly, that day you are not coming here. You change church. But when you were collecting it in the parking lot, it was good. When you can't pay back, it's an embarrassment. Somebody who is not worth talking to you will speak to you anyhow. when you are a debtor, it limits the things you can do. You have plans you can't execute because this debt is still hanging. Debt limits what you can say. When there is a plan for prosperity and increase, you just be quiet and be looking at them. When they look at you, they will think he's very smart. He's wise. That's why he's not speaking. But you don't know, you're thinking of what you owe. Oh, I wish I can prosecute these brand new ideas, these opportunities that open up. Debtors cannot prosecute an opportunity. Opportunities passes them by. Because there is no substance. And by the way, if you are owing and you are saving, you are fooling yourself. The percentage of what you owe is higher than the percentage of what you gain from your savings. In America, the maximum any bank will give you is probably 0.25 in interest. But when you borrow, the interest rate is 22 point something, 29 point something. So if you are saving and you are owing, except that money is an investment that will yield for you. Praise the Lord. Debt makes you live in fear. Knock on the door. Your mind will cut. Your heart will shake. You think the people you owe are here. In England, we call them bailiffs. Bailiffs are here to carry all your things. And then you say, I'll work harder. I'll work harder. And you start working for the creditor. You start working for the creditor. Think about it. We were discussing it a few weeks ago. I don't mean on the pulpit. Myself and a few men. You see, if you are a man in this church, it's important for you to join the men's fellowship. Because the kind of things we are discussing, it will benefit you and make you a champion in your home. You have a mortgage, 30 years mortgage. Your mortgage is, just throw a figure out there, $800. And you are paying $800 every month. That $800 towards your mortgage is the interest. You are just paying the interest. And you pay the interest for 10 years and you will see your balance has not moved anywhere. But only if you knew that even if I cannot afford more, but I can afford $50 extra, you just find out that $50 is shaving off months and years of your mortgage. Or the bank will even tell you, pay twice a month. That is if you have the ability. They divide it into two. Pay twice a month. It shaves off 7 years from your mortgage. Debt will not allow you to support kingdom projects. Some people, because of what they are owing, they can't tithe, and then they can't be blessed. They can't give. They can't give good offering. The same offering you've been giving since 5 years ago, $2. That's still the same offering you are giving. Look at your life. Because debt is holding you back. And then you value the creditor more than you value the word of God. Say, the borrower is servant to the lender, the creditor begins to control your life. They will tell you when to pay and how to pay. So, for you to take your family out, you have to think twice. Debt robs you of your joy. I don't see anybody who remembers what they are owing and they are happy. It makes your heart sink. When you sleep, you see your creditor in the dream. In the dream, you wake up thinking you own Bank of America. No, you owe them. You say, oh, I saw Bank of America. No, it's because you are owing them. That's why you are seeing them. You don't sleep well because what you are owing is on your mind. You know, when I was in school, when I was in secondary school, my house master just bought this new car on credit. You know, they used to give car allowance. In the night, he won't sleep. He will come out of the window every 30 minutes to look and see that the car is there. If you hear car alarm, bah, bah, you wake up straight away, you go and look. Because there's no rest of mind. There's no peace of mind. May God give you peace of mind. You can't have recreation because of debt. People are going on vacation. Everybody's entitled at least to one vacation in a year. But you can't go. You can't rest. You have to walk, 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 walk. And your high blood pressure is going up, 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 up. Because of debt. Somebody say, I'm coming out of debt. Oh, come on, say it like you mean it. I'm coming out of debt. Are you coming out of debt? I'm coming out of debt. In the course of this series, I will tell you good debt and bad debt. And I may not. Because the whole point is to discourage us from owing. If we are talking about prosperity, let's let it begin to show on our faces. Let it begin to show in our homes. Let it begin to show in our giving. Let it begin to show in every area of our lives. So that you are not thinking of somebody who is holding an axe over your head. And Satan will be taunting you and say, eh? You see, they are lying to you now. Give, 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 and it shall be given to you. Good. Remember what you are owing, you know. Then the opportunity to sow, you won't be able to sow. Others will have a testimony. You won't have a testimony. May God have mercy on us.